Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Pillsbury.com, with an easier-to-use new look and layout, expanded tools and recipes to explore, search, and browse. All new now at Pillsbury.com. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. This long, dark week on the very verge of Christmas. We're all ready for Christmas to start. School was let out on Friday, and now all the lights are on in town. The Magan dances have strung their lights on all of their lawn statuary, those concrete squirrels and those enormous cast iron deer in their yard have bulbs wound around them, and those giant concrete walleyes coming up out of the ground. And not just flashing bulbs, but also bubble lights as well. It's the Magan Dance's rebellion against Lutheran sobriety. It's like a little Christmas casino there in our midst. There is three different viruses that are going around town. There's kind of a face cold. You just sniffle and drip for about 24 hours. And then there's a 24-hour flu. You just get feverish and you feel sort of dizzy. And that passes quickly. And then there's the three-day variety. You get this jagged headache as well. And you are nauseous and have no appetite. And you question the purpose and value of your life and the lives of others. But it passes after about 3 days and you'll feel pretty good again. There was a stranger in town this week, a man in a trench coat who came to town. We'd never seen him before, and the arrival of a stranger in Lake Wobegon causes some mention. Most strangers who arrive are lost, and they get out as soon as they find their bearings again. But this man came and he hung around. He came into the mercantile and Cliff waited on him. He was looking at a flower vase that plays in the mood. And Cliff said, "Can I help you?" "No," the man said, "he's just looking." He was looking all over town. He bought a stocking cap in Skoglund's Five and Dime. He went into the Sidetrack Tap for a while. He came into the Chatterbox Cafe. He had the spaghetti and meatballs. Dorothy was asking him probing questions, but he wasn't about to answer any of them. He was not from around here. We weren't sure who he was. She called Pastor Inkvist. She wondered if maybe the Lutheran Church ought to do something about this man. He disappeared up the hill, and when last heard from, he had registered for a cabin at Arts Bates and Night Arrest Motel in Cabin 14. Art has just renumbered his cabins. Now he starts with 7, so that's now the last one. It sounds like he's expanded, but he hasn't really. Well, people thought maybe he's just one of those Christmas visitors. You know, we get a lot of them on these long weekends before Christmas. The city mice come to visit the country mice, a lot of reluctant country mice who don't care to sleep on a rollaway with a bar across their back, hitting them in the kidneys and attend Lutheran church, which is not so fancy as church in the big city where you have incense and beautiful music. Not much incense in the Lutheran church, just some old spice and not nearly enough of that. And the singing, not nearly what you would find in the city. And the sermons have a vaguely accusatory tone to them. The minister wondering in his own mind where this crowd of people was back in July and August. It's not always pleasant. The people are not always warm and welcoming. There are Norwegian bachelor farmers there who look at you as if they're trying to remember what poster you were on at the post office and whether it was for homicide or larceny. And the music, how shall I describe it? Some sounds like people trapped in an elevator trying to get out and draw attention. Why do they sing, "Every valley shall be exalted"? It's not an exalting experience in that choir. The basses are flat and the sopranos are shrieky and there are no tenors whatsoever. So Well, the city mice have their own feelings too, you know. They look at their children who've come up from the city, and they remember a time when children were seen and not heard and did not interrupt adults to tell their own stories, when children were able to amuse themselves playing battleship on a piece of graph paper, or they could go outside in the snow and make a wheel and spokes and play fox and geese. They didn't need video games. They didn't need the constant attention of older people. And as for choirs, well, that choir was not so bad. Before that woman came from wherever she came from, the city, we think, this strange woman who showed up a few weeks ago and is singing in the choir. We didn't know how to tell her to get lost. She's a wild singer, and there are rumors about her. She goes over to the Moonlight Bay Supper Club, and she has rum drinks, and she stays until closing time, dancing with any man who will dance with her. She lives in a mobile home over in Millet. Who is this woman, and why is she singing in our choir? It sounds so much worse since she has joined us. Well, Pastor Inkvist went to pay a pastoral call on the man in the raincoat at Arts Bates and Night Arrest Motel. He had another pastoral call to pay first on Edith Stenerud, who was a shut-in until, but now she's not at home that much anymore, since she found some other shut-ins who like to get out as well. And one of them, who could still get behind the wheel of her Oldsmobile and drive. And that is Eleanor, who only drives on the back roads because she doesn't have her license anymore, because she can't see that well. But she knows the back roads very well, especially when she drives with her right wheel on the shoulder. And so she can go at high speed. Her principle is never drive faster than your age. So she's 85, and that's some limit. They go off to casinos, they go off to auctions, any place with a ramp and a railing, those old ladies go off. So Pastor Inkvist was going to pay a visit on her and give her a poinsettia plant, but she was not around. He went to Arts Bates and Night Arrest Motel, and there was the stranger lying on his bed, reading a Gideon Bible and drinking bourbon whiskey. The pastor went in and asked him where he was from. The man said, "It came from California, came from Los Angeles. I came looking for my wife. I don't know where she is. She was born here, I guess, but she left when she was a kid. She's lived in California most of her life. But she just got in a mood somehow about a month ago. And she left me a note one day, and she said she just missed winter. She missed snow in the worst way. She couldn't bear to have another rainy Christmas day. She was going back here. So I waited for her to get cold and come back to me. But instead I got a letter saying, would you send my reading glasses? And would you send that book, that Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice, that I was in the middle of? She gave me the address, General Delivery, Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. So I came up here to wait for her, to look for her. Her name is Lynn. I don't know where she might be. Well, it's that time of year when people are in that mood to wander, I guess. It's a beautiful time of year. Wonderful, wonderful time when we have that moment before Christmas comes on, when we get to go out and stand and look up at the starry skies and think of Christmas's past. And maybe that's what happened to Lynn. She was thinking about when she was a little child and going to visit her grandparents in that strange land with the snow and the stars in the sky. Just little things can bring back those memories. You have a little pork roast and some green beans, and it reminds you of Aunt Myrna and Uncle Earl and their Christmas Eve sitting listening to a Christmas carol on the radio. You just have some almonds and figs and dates, and it brings back the memory of that room that you remember from long, long ago, when you used to go out and sing around the piano with your friends. Hilmer and Helen and Florence and Leroy was there, and Earl and Catherine and Leeds and Corinne sat at the piano. The fish tank was bubbling over in the corner, and you looked out the window at the snow and the stars, and you sang All these songs you knew, you sang. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder, out of China, across the bay. Most people don't know that, except if you're of a certain age, or you sang Juanita, that beautiful, beautiful Juanita. Juanita, Juanita, hast thy soul if we should love. Juanita, Juanita, lead now on my heart. Just the taste of almonds and dates and some eggnog bring back all of these songs. If you lived to a certain age, people you loved standing around the piano and singing. Just a song at twilight, when the lights are low and the flickering shadows softly come and so. Christmas's song, all of these songs that we all know the words to, when else would we ever get to sing them except at Christmas, to stand shoulder to shoulder with other people and sing songs together, this sensuous, democratic experience. Get over yourself and just sing with the others. It's not about you. Yes, you are unique, but so is everybody else. And all of your joys are deeper for the knowledge that other people have experienced them too. And all of the burdens that you bear, others have borne those or worse. We get all of those from singing Christmas carols. It's the great, magnificent gift that comes around every year. That's where he found his wife. He went to the Lutheran church on Sunday night. And he had to sit down front because the Lutheran church, it fills up from the back. So if you're a late comer, you have to sit right down front. And there he was. And the choir came in singing Adeste Fidelis. And he looked over. And there she was. There was Lynn in a choir robe and singing wildly off key. He stood up. Here she was, this woman from California, had walked up and down the beaches of California, dreaming of a day when she could sing and let go and express herself. And now she was walking up the aisle of the Lutheran church. He walked over towards her. She saw him, and she stepped on the robe of the baritone in front of her. And he went down and took two tenors down with him. And the moment those four people fell to the floor, immediately the singing got much better. He walked over and he embraced his wife, the man of the tan raincoat, and the woman with the red hair. They embraced. They weren't certain whether to kiss each other or not, or whether they should do it in the Lutheran church. He took her off down the aisle. They went over to the Chatterbox Cafe. They had some coffee and some French silk pie, and then they drove off. Who knows where? Not our business. Whatever happened, it's their business. And the church went on without them. And the Norwegian bachelor farmers sat and listened to the music and the smell of the pine boughs and the candles, the same every year as it's been every year. And little children leaning against their parents and falling asleep. And the people who cry only at Christmas, only once a year, they cry. They could feel now that their time was coming around again. This public radio podcast is supported by Pillsbury.com. With an easier-to-use new look and layout, expanded tools and recipes to explore, search, and browse. All new now at Pillsbury.com.